Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
And here we go.
Dr. Evil, we have a problem.
This is going to be cool.
I mean, after all, you're nerds.
They look like a couple of dorks.
Perfect. We couldn't have planned this better.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
What's happening, hot stuff?
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
What? English, do you speak it?
Yes.
Then you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And welcome, everyone, to the Sports Report. I'm Packer Dave. Glad to have you with us. A lot on tap for the show today. You'll hear Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting. He went to Hallis Hall, got us some audio from the Bears as they play the Packers this Thursday night at Lambeau Field. Also caught up with Jeff Joniak, the voice of the Bears. We'll hear that later in the program. Also, we'll hear from our professor of sports, John Poulter, out of Toronto, talking Major League Baseball and soccer late in the program. Les Grobstein comes up in our next segment. He's from WSCR Sports Radio, CBS in Chicago. And we're going to touch on the Bears and the Packers. Going to be a good game Thursday night. But before we get to that, let's look back at the Packers' win in overtime against Cincinnati. They were down 21-7 at one point, and it didn't look good. Aaron Rodgers had to rally them back. They were down a couple offensive linemen. Mike Daniels on the defensive line was not playing. But in the end, they got the job done. Nice pass to Geronimo Allison, setting up a overtime-winning field goal from Mason Crosby on a one of those get the defense offside plays that Aaron Rodgers does so well. Here's Aaron Rodgers on the win in overtime and on the pass play with that offside penalty and the ultimate pass to Geronimo Allison.
Yeah, it's a big win for us, especially on a short week. That was a desperate opponent, 0-2, not want to go to 0-3. You know, we spot him a lead and start picking up in the second half and making some more plays. And then obviously when we had to have it there in the fourth quarter in overtime, we made the plays. I was first looking to make sure we got him offsides. I saw the flag thrown, so I was looking down the seams first. We had 12 on the field in the third quarter, and I felt like we had maybe a seam opportunity. So with them offsides, I looked inside, and naturally helped us hit it down the sideline. You play this game long enough, you know, some weird stuff happens sometimes on the field. About a split second before I threw that ball, I had an image of the pass I threw to James Jones against Detroit. It was actually an 80-yard touchdown at that point. So that kind of flashed right away about how hard to throw that one, and luckily I put it in a good spot, and G-Mo did the rest.
Here's Kenny Clark, the Packers' number one draft pick from last year, defensive lineman on facing the Bears.
I think they're a real good team, to be honest, man. I mean, they hung in there with the Falcons real good. Steelers, they beat them, and then they play. I forgot who else they played, but none of their games has really been just really bad blowouts or anything. I mean, they've been in there. They've been in those games. They got a great running game. They got two great backs. They've been doing great things for them, and their offensive line has always been good. So I'm looking forward to the challenge.
So in this game, the Packers have to get their running game going a bit more. You know, and if you're still pining for Eddie Lacy to be back in the lineup, so far with Seattle, he has 5 carries and 3 yards up until this point in the season. Too bad what happened to Eddie Lacy. He was so good a few years ago. But right now, we do have to get that going a bit more. And if we can get that handled, and Martellus Bennett has to step up a little bit. He didn't have a great game against the Bengals. Hopefully that can change as he's playing his old team, the Bears, coming up. So it's the Packers and the Bears Thursday night. Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting, Les Grobstein from the Score Sports Radio in Chicago, and a lot more coming up on the show. Stick with us.
You know, sometimes when you compare prices on products, you think to yourself, what difference does it make? The rates are all about the same anyway. But sometimes the rates are very different. Let me give you an example where there's a huge difference in pricing between companies. Vehicle protection plans. Look, if your car is 4 years or older, having a vehicle protection plan is a no-brainer. The trick is not to overpay for it. Here are the facts. The average price of a vehicle protection plan is $2,800, while the price of a TOCO warranty vehicle protection plan for most vehicles is just $1,500. The average down payment on a vehicle protection plan is $299. With TOCO warranty, there's no down payment. The average monthly payment on a vehicle protection plan is more than $160 a month. With TOCO, the average monthly payment is just $49. To get a highly rated vehicle protection plan at a great low rate, call TOCO Warranty at 1-800-987-3157. That's 1-800-987-3157. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, this is Dan Patrick. One quick message for you, Packer Dave. It's really, really brief and to the point. You're in fuego.
I am in fuego. I am Packer Dave. This is the Sports Report. We got the Packers and the Bears on Thursday Night Football, about an 8:30 Eastern time kickoff, 7:30 Central at Lambeau Field. Bears had a huge win last week, overtime. They don't win that game in overtime against the Steelers. They go 0-3. And now things get ugly in Chicago. But because of the overtime win, they're 1-2. They have a chance to even their record against Green Bay at Lambeau Field. That would be a huge win for them. But it was really a big one last Sunday in Chicago. The man who covers the Bears for the show and goes to Hallis Hall each week collecting audio and getting the vibe on the Bears is Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting. How you doing, Steve?
I'm good. And the vibe, you know, the vibe is that they said, see, we're not so bad. But, you know, they don't play quite so well on the road. So I see a very different outcome, although I'm sure I was one of many people who didn't think the Bears had it within them to beat the Steelers. So go no.
I did not either. I thought they were going to be 0-4, and the crapola was going to hit the fan in Chicago. This gives everybody a little bit of hope. And if they can knock off Green Bay, I don't think they will either, but if they can, they're in great position. So, Steve, you were at Hallis Hall and caught up with John Fox and defensive coordinator Vic Fangio. So tell us what they had to say.
Well, they're talking basically, you know, the whole story is, part of it is, of course, Green Bay, and they have respect for Green Bay, but also the fact that they had to depend a lot on the run game. So that doesn't necessarily bode well for the fact that they didn't throw the ball a lot. And if they get behind, that's going to be quite the big story. So John Fox, of course, talks about the challenges of facing the Packers and on a short week and all that.
Well, they're a good football team. You know, I think you know, you've seen that based on the first three games. We kind of know them, playing them twice a year. I know in my tenure here, you know, they got a pretty special quarterback that makes stuff happen. I know they've had their share of injuries as well, you know, across the board. You know, and on a short week, you know, obviously it's a challenge for both sides. But, you know, I think it starts with Aaron, and, you know, he's always going to make it interesting. I think just his ability to extend plays, you know, his patience in the pocket. You know, I don't think he spends the afternoon or evening running around too much, but he does buy time and, you know, put stress, you know, on your rush element as well as your coverage, you know, when he extends those plays.
All right, and then defensive coordinator Vic Fangio comments on the Packers offense and Jordy Nelson.
Well, they've been together a long time. You know, a lot of those guys, you know, Nelson and Cobb, and now the running back's been the runner for a year and a half now. You know, they picked up Bennett. You know, they got a lot of skill. And Rodgers has been there for so long, he knows this offense inside and out. And he just operates it very, very efficiently and seamlessly, no matter who's playing in there. Well, he's obviously, the deep ball is his specialty. But he can catch the quick game, and he's a good runner after the catch. He's got deceiving speed. And obviously, he's got him and Rodgers have a karma going, which makes it tough.
it's every coordinator's nightmare having to prepare against Green Bay on a short week. And, of course, Mike Glennon is the one who's going to be baptism under fire in the Green Bay rivalry. He talks about the rivalry, and he also talks about facing the Packer defense.
Yeah, they're a good defense. They've, you know, gotten after – I mean, they really got after Seattle, and they bring a lot. I mean, obviously it's a short week, so our challenge is to get our bodies fresh, study an opponent in, you know, half the time that we normally do. And, you know, go up there and play, you know, one of the better teams in the league. So there's a lot of challenges this week, both what they do and just us preparing for the short week. Yeah, I think right when I got here, any interaction I had with any fan, the first thing they would say is beat the Packers. So that immediately kind of opened my eyes to the rivalry and of how important it is to this city. You know, I guess I figured it was a big rivalry, that it's relatively close, but I didn't realize how passionate the fans really are about this game.
Well, it's the Packers and the Bears at Lambeau Field Thursday night. And from WSCR, CBS Radio in Chicago, CBS Sports Radio, longtime Chicago broadcaster, sports icon, Les Grobstein. Les, how are you today?
Hi, Dave. How you doing?
Doing just fine. Say hello to your friend Les, Steve.
Hello to my friend Les, Steve.
Okay. Hey,
Mr.
Les.
Mr. Leventhal.
You know, the Bears come off a big win in overtime. Now they're in a position to go 2-2, even up with the Packers, save John Fox's job. Mike Glennon will be on better turf as a result of a big win in Green Bay. Is this how you see it playing out?
No, not at all. Number one, the Steelers have historically played terribly against the Bears in Chicago. They are now 1-13 in Chicago against the Bears. That doesn't count games that they won over the Chicago Cardinals way back in the day. But the Steelers only won here in 1995. That was Dave Wannstedt's team. That was his fourth to last team, his second team, actually. And they, since that time, I mean, the Steelers have come in heavy favorites many a times. They just are terrible when they play in Chicago. And the Bears took advantage. I thought Atlanta was unimpressive in the first game of the year, which the Bears should have won. They didn't. And Steelers should have won this game this past Sunday, too. They did not. And, you know, that's their problem. But as far as the Bears go offensively, they can run the ball pretty well. They don't have any wide receivers. I mean, those that they have are both out for the year. Kevin White, he's been a major bust. He's been on the team for 3 years, and I think he's played in like five games, and it's just been a complete disaster. As far as the Packers go, I got to admit, I wasn't that impressed with them either. The difference between the Bears and the Packers is number 12 at quarterback for Green Bay. You take him out of there, just like you did about 4 years ago at Lambeau Field, and they had Tolzien replace him, and the Bears won the game. And the reason they won that game is because Jay Cutler was also out, and they won the game with McGowan, who, by the way, beat Cutler the other day. That said, you know, I think the Packers, they've got all kinds of injuries. I understand that. So do the Bears. You take Rodgers out of there, and it's different. Just like with New England, if they don't have Tom Brady, they don't win their game against the Texans either.
All right, Mike Glennon threw for 101 yards, though. That's pretty impressive.
Oh, gee, that's a tremendous amount. I mean, whoopee.
Well, look, John, you know, offensive coordinator Dow Loggins said in the press conference on Tuesday, he says, we threw 22 passes in the game. He says most teams throw 22 passes and a half.
That's right, because they can't do it. They didn't because they can't. They're extremely limited. One of the reasons they got killed at Tampa Bay is because basically the Bears were turning the ball over, more turnovers than you'll find in a bakery shop.
Oh, I knew that was coming.
And if they do that in Lambeau Field Thursday night, they'll get killed in that game.
How many touches should Howard have each game? Like all of them?
Not all of them. They got to use Cohen, too. And I think Cohen is the type of guy that can give the Packers defense some problems, just like he did that with Pittsburgh. I mean, he had almost a game-winning touchdown in overtime. You know, and everybody was complaining that that should have been a TD. Actually, I disagree. I think that they did touch the white, and I think he was out. Didn't matter. Howard scored on the very next play. The Steelers looked exhausted. They looked fried. And can they wear down the Packers? Well, the Packers' defense, it kind of looks a little weird now, too, except for the one guy, and I think the Bears are kind of owing him something, and that would be Clay Matthews. I mean, the Bears had a backup quarterback, and he broke his arm last year, and the league fined him pretty good money. They didn't suspend him. But Matthews is the one playmaker they've got on defense. He's given the Bears problems, and if he gives them problems again, then this is a mediocre Bears offense, and Green Bay's going to win the game without any problem. If the Bears stay in the game and make it kind of interesting, again, Aaron Rodgers is still the difference. He is still the X factor as far as this game goes. They have Rodgers. The Bears do not. That's why right now, I mean, if the Packers don't win this game, it would be a major upset.
The other thing the Packers have is number 87, Jordy Nelson.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter if he's there. If Rodgers isn't the quarterback, they don't have anybody to get the ball to Jordy Nelson. Last year, of course, he was out and he was hurting and stuff like that, but Rodgers is on that team, and he can make mediocre receivers look halfway decent, and they've got more than their share of mediocre receivers. I mean, Geronimo Allison from Illinois, they made him look like a stud the other day. If that's not Rodgers throwing him the ball, he doesn't have that long gain in overtime, and who knows what's going to end up happening. They do have a good kicker, though, in Mason Crosby. And Connor Barth has been a surprisingly good one for the Bears. Most of us thought that when they, for money, decided to go to him last year and let Robbie Gould go, that was all about money.
Okay, Les Grabstein with us from WSCR, The Score Sports Radio in Chicago. And now the Bears, if they beat the Packers, is the whole town going to be excited about John Fox and him staying on as coach, showing that he can do a good job at this point in the season? Nobody would have expected them to be 2-2. Isn't this just a huge game after the huge overtime win that the Bears had for Fox himself?
No. There's a lot of Bear fans hope that they, even though they hate the Packers and they don't want to lose to the Packers, they don't want to see something happen that keeps John Fox in good standing with upper management, because as long as Fox is the head coach of this team, he's old school. I know he took two teams to the Super Bowl. They both lost, and the one he had in Denver lost real bad. The one he had in Carolina, well, some bad coaching moves, and he got beat by New England in that one. No, there's a lot of people that were kind of hoping that they would be 0-3 right now, and that you know, Fox would be on the way out. But right now, as far as he's concerned, everything's all well and good, and frankly, he's full of it.
Okay, Les, just always wanted to ask you, I never asked you this. You know, you've covered Chicago sports since what, the late 70s, right?
Since 1970.
Okay, since 1970. So you have been to and from Green Bay many times. What do you think of Green Bay, Wisconsin?
I love going up there for games. The tailgating is as good as it is anywhere. It's probably better in Madison for Badger games, but it's very good up there. I've seen Bears and Packer fans together before and even after games, tailgating and having a good time. I've even seen when the Bears win, and Packer fans who are irate about losing, nonetheless, they know how to have a little bit of fun and have a good time. You know, it's still the toilet paper capital of the world. We know that.
Hey.
And, you know, people, but nonetheless, it's a big enterprise up there. They make a lot of money.
Okay. Well, Les, thanks so much for your time today. And the Bears and the Packers, always a fun time. We always have you on each year when this game comes around. Les Grobstein, CBS Radio, The Score, Sports Radio in Chicago. You take care, my friend.
We'll talk to you guys soon.
Well, it's not only the Packers and the Bears playing each other in the NFC North. You also have the Lions at 2-1 up against the Vikings at 2-1. The Lions last week come away with a loss that should have been a win. They thought they had the touchdown at the end. Turned out Golden Tate's knee was down just before the ball crossed the goal line, and there wasn't enough time to get another play off due to the 10-second runoff rule. And the Lions lose in miserable fashion. Again, you know, they lost to Aaron Rodgers with the Hail Mary. They've had a loss like this last week. It always happens to Detroit. They torment their fans. So I say, anybody that is a Lions fan, you are not a quitter, and you have my respect. Here's Jim Caldwell talking about the young players on his defense.
Oh, you know, our front office has done a great job. You know, they do a fine job of identifying the talent, fine job of blending the two, and coaches are involved with that as well. So, but we, I think the relationship is really, really, it's productive, and you know, it always helps when you got young guys that can come in and contribute as much as we've had here in the last couple of years. We've had quite a few young guys playing for us early, you know, I think it's a it helps us without question because they make plays for us, you know, we're just anticipating they got to keep working to keep it going.
And Vikings coach Mike Zimmer on preparing for the Lions after their big win last week against Tampa Bay.
I think that we played really well together as a team. Offensively, obviously they played outstanding. The offensive line was very good. Defensively, we played the run really well. Got some turnovers. And in special teams, except really for the one kickoff return, I thought we did a nice job there. So it was, you know, it was great to be back in our stadium with our fans. They were great again. You know, we'll continue to need them being as loud as they have been, continuing on this week against Detroit.
Hey, what'd you think about Stephon Diggs?
Stephon Diggs, I like. He always comes up big in games that I watch. You don't hear a lot about him. But I really like what he brings to the table, and he always plays well against Green Bay. Other games on the slate for this coming weekend, the Saints at the Dolphins, Titans at Texans, Jaguars at Jets, the Panthers visit the Patriots, the Bills head to Atlanta, the Steelers and the Ravens, that's always a good one. These are all early games, by the way. Bengals at Browns, and the Rams at the Dallas Cowboys. Then the late games on Fox, the Eagles at the Chargers, the Giants at the Buccaneers, the 49ers at the Cardinals, and the late game on CBS, the Raiders at the Broncos. On Sunday night, you have the Colts at the Seahawks. I bet they wish they didn't have to air that one nationally. And on Monday night, the Redskins at the Chiefs. Now, Steve, we're going to get back into football after the break because we have Jeff Joniak in an interview you did recently with him, voice of the Chicago Bears. But you were at Chicago Bulls Media Day, correct?
Yeah, of course, this time of year, all the teams have a Media Day where they trot out the players, they show the new uniforms, they set it up to have interviews with the NBA, with the digital media, and they also take pictures. But I got to tell you something, David. I'm sitting here holding in my hand the Bulls roster for this year. The big news, of course, was that they issued a buyout for Dwayne Wade and basically said goodbye. We're blowing up the team and we're starting from scratch. And as I look at this roster, there are only two players that have more than 4 years of NBA experience on them, and they are Quincy Pondexter and Robin Lopez. Either one of those guys ring a bell?
Robin Lopez, yeah. Well, let's hear from GM John Paxson on rebuilding this season.
And I'll say this. You know, I've never met a coach or a player who steps foot on a floor to lose a game. You know, they don't, and they shouldn't. And it's what I said earlier, you know, yes, we're rebuilding. We understand and acknowledge that there's going to be some tough times. It's incumbent on the three of us to stay connected, stay positive, understanding what that means. But we're not creating that. That's why this summer was so important. This culture and environment of working hard and putting the time in, that's what is sustainable, whether you win or lose. And so we're not here to create a culture of losing. We're trying to create a culture that's building toward things that are sustainable, and that's where there was growth this summer. But we know it, I've been around a long time. Being a young basketball team, it's hard to win in the NBA at a high level. It is, but that doesn't mean that you can't put a team out there that plays the game the right way, works hard, believes in each other. That's what the sport's about, and that's our expectation. If we do that, then I think, you know, our future is really bright, and I have no reason to believe that we won't play that way.
All right, Steve. Well, coming back, we'll have your interview with play-by-play man for the Chicago Bears, Jeff Joniak, and John Poulter, our professor of sports on Major League Baseball and soccer, right here on the Weekend Sports Report. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner. If you're hanging a mirror or shelves, you'll need more support than drywall can offer by itself. Stay tuned and we'll talk about how to find your wall studs right after this.
The probability of a serious fire in a building may be low, but the potential consequences are enormous. In addition to smoke alarms and fire extinguishers, fire-resistant building materials can give you extra time to escape when seconds count. Roxul Stonewall Insulation is a critical line of defense in fire protection. Roxul is made from basalt, rock, and slag, and this combination results in a non-combustible product. It resists temperatures up to 2150 degrees and will not off-gas, contribute to toxic smoke, or promote flames. These tips brought to you by Roxul, the better insulation.
To hang heavier items on your walls, you'll need the solid backing of a stud. That's one of the vertical 2x4s behind finished walls. The most reliable way to find them is with an electronic stud finder, which detects changes in density. You pass it over a wall, and lights and tones tell you when you found a stud. You can also hold a lamplight close to a wall and look for nail heads and seams in the drywall. Other low-tech methods include tapping and listening for hollow spaces, or looking alongside switches and outlet boxes, since they're usually attached to the side of a stud. The good news is that once you find one stud, you should be able to find them all, because most walls are laid out with a stud every 16 inches. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
Have you ever been turned down, rejected, or downright denied because of bad credit? Don't let your dreams disappear. We here at National Credit Advisor can help you qualify for that new car you've been dreaming about or that new home you know you deserve. Never again be rejected because of bad credit. Just call us here at National Credit Advisor today and see how much we can help boost your credit score. We've helped thousands repair their credit so they could finally start qualifying for the purchases they've been dreaming about. Stop being held back from getting the things you want. We help rebuild your credit score so you can qualify for the home, car, or credit card you deserve. No matter how bad your credit is, just call 1-800-605-3081 today to see how much we can help your credit score. No one is turned away. Call now, 1-800-605-3081. That's 1-800-605-3081. Again, 1-800-605-3081.
I went to a football game, the Packers and the Bears. I got so bummed I did not know the score or even care. I threw up on a Bears fan, he said he'd call the cops. I said that's fine, but all in time now.
Please pass the shots!
Hi, this is Len Dawson, formerly of the Kansas City Chiefs. Packer Dave, you know a lot about a lot of things, but you don't know jack cheese about football.
I do know this. Lambeau Field, Thursday night. The Packers and the Bears. The excitement is overwhelming. It's terrific.
Please pass the
stops. Hey. And if I was there, I'd be cracking one open myself. I tell you that right now. I'd be hitting the old beer stand there, knocking one or two down as the Pack beats up on the Bears. Hopefully, for my sake, at Lambeau Field. Okay? But you know, yes, up there, farm country. You know, Steve, Jeff Joniak has been doing play-by-play on the radio for the Chicago Bears for a lot of years now, and you were able to catch up with him recently and talk about his career and some of the things that went on as far as him being a broadcaster in Chicago.
Yeah, he's even got a catchphrase all of his own now, and we also talked about that, but it was a good little interview.
All right, well, let's hear it right now. Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting with Jeff Joniak. Voice of the Bears.
Jeff has been calling Bears games since 2001. What do you remember about taking over the microphone, and how easy or how hard was it back then?
Well, nothing's easy about it even to this day. But it was a dream come true. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I had tears in my eyes from the first snap of a preseason game against the Cincinnati Bengals at Old Soldier Field in 2001. And just couldn't even believe that I was getting the opportunity for the charter franchise in the league in a town with a great history of phenomenal Hall of Fame announcers in all sports, some who are my peers at the moment, from the Pat Foleys to the Neil Funks to the Pat Hugheses, you name it. This town has really enjoyed a great history, and just to be grateful for that in over a 16-year period to still be able to do it, I hope I can do it for another 16 years.
You mentioned a lot of the local sports talent. Who are some of the other play-by-play announcers that maybe you idolized or enjoyed listening to, or maybe you model your broadcast after?
Well, the whole thing for me is, and I remember reading this about Vin Scully, who happened to retire this year, and I pulled off the side of the road and listened to his final goodbye to the fans, and you really are doing it for the fans, and that was his thing. He thanked them for allowing him to be in their cars, their living rooms, at the ballpark and whatnot, and he always said, don't water your wine. When he started out, he never listened to other announcers. He didn't do it for fear he would pick up some of their words or habits or whatnot. You got to do you, and that's what I've always maintained. I think you cannot call games in this town without having, A, the passion for the sport you're calling, which I do. I love football and always have. A passion for the team, because people can see right through it if you don't. You can't make it up. And you have to have knowledge and context. And that's what I really work the entire week before every game, is trying to pull that information together so that we can find something, Tom Thayer and myself, find something that otherwise hasn't been broken down for the previous 6 days, that you're going to find some context in, whether it's a play, a quarter, or the entire game and the aftermath.
You just mentioned your broadcast partner, Tom Thayer. Tell me about your working relationship on air with Tom.
I mean, it's seamless. I mean, first of all, he's my best friend, and we've literally grown up in the booth together over the course of now 19 years overall, because I was doing pre- and post-game before that. And to be lucky enough, A, to get the job, but B, to be paired with him, because he invests himself. And I can never thank him enough for what he's taught me about the game, from learning how to watch tape to understanding very specific elements of football technique and fundamentals. So he's a fun guy to work with. We always save it for the radio, so we never really know what's going to happen in the course of a broadcast, pregame, in-game, or postgame included. And it just makes it a lot of fun. He's very talented at what he does. He sees the game from an offensive lineman's point of view. So he begins there and works his way out. And I think that's where the game is won and lost, is in the trenches. So I'm fortunate to be working with him.
Now, a lot of people have catchphrases or other things they've been known for, and there's the NFL video, the Devin Hester. And to talk about, you know, that moment and a player like Devin that you've run across.
Well, he certainly helped increase my profile, because he's the best to this point ever in the return game. But, you know, that kind of happened in 2006. They're in Super Bowl year. First of all, his first opening game against Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field, I called him the Windy City Flyer. And he literally painted a mural on his wall in his home with the Windy City skyline and the Windy City Flyer on it. I saw people making T-shirts about it, so I realized, you know, everything you say can and will be used against you, good or bad. So I always say the word ridiculous. It's a bad habit word for me, but usually attached with other words that shouldn't ever make the radio. So, I mean, it was the second punt return touchdown against the St. Louis Rams in the Dome there, and I just lost my mind, and I just said, I remember it vividly, and I said, Devin Hester, you are ridiculous. The addendum to that is, I looked up at the TV monitor, and you can see this on NFL films. It's on NFL films, I believe, in the longer versions of the plays. Lovie Smith was staring up at the scoreboard, and I said, Lovie Smith's jaw just dropped, because the kid kept doing it, and he did. He just dropped his jaw, and that's what I said, and you know, he was so electrifying. You only hit a certain number of guys like that in your professional life to call, whether it be Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers or Barry Sanders or a great defensive player like a Von Miller or an electrifying player like this young man was with the Bears. And you have to capture the moment. You cannot. You have to chart history. That's your job. You're charting history. Every snap could be a piece of history. That lives for perpetuity. And so you have to be dialed in and be bracing for the moment. You can't prepare for the moment, but you mentally have to be bracing for it. And like the Super Bowl that year, you know, I never for a million years thought that he'd return the opening kickoff for a touchdown. You can't really prepare for that, right? But I learned, never take a playoff, because that's just the opening kickoff. You're just trying to settle in the broadcast, and bam, he's gone. Touchdown.
Okay, last question. Your predecessor, Wayne Larrabee, is now up at the Packers. I'm sure Packer Dave would want me to ask, would you trade jobs with him?
Absolutely not. Good luck, Wayne. Wayne grew up with he grew up loving the Lombardi Packers, so it was a natural for him. He's the premier play-by-play guy in sports and football. He does it better than anybody. He's unbelievable in his ability, and not just football, all sports. So I have great respect for Wayne. Was in the booth with Wayne for several years, and he's a friend and extremely talented, but I'm a Bear.
Now to talk Major League Baseball and the playoff races that are going on right now, we bring in our professor of sports from Toronto, Ontario, John Poulter. John, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thanks, Dave. How about you? And hello to you, Steve.
Oh, I'm doing fine. What about you, Steve?
I'm doing fine, too, since you got on my case last time for being unexciting or whatever. I'm great. I'm excited. I love this. This is like, you know, the best thing that ever happened to me today.
Well, this is good news.
Okay. All right, John, take us through Major League Baseball. What to look for, who's in, who's out, who's close, what some teams need to do. Give us a rundown.
Well, it's going to get very interesting. I mean, here we are with less than a week to go, and the Red Sox and the Yankees haven't decided that American League East yet, but the Red Sox clearly in the driver's seat there. The Yankees have clinched the first wild card spot. Cleveland has clinched the American League Central, and of course, Houston has clinched the American League West. Over in the National League, Washington and the Dodgers have clinched the East and the West, respectively. That Central is a little clearer now than it was when we chatted last week. The Cubs have still not clinched, but with their split in Milwaukee over the weekend and the great start to the series with St. Louis on Monday night, the Cubs certainly look like they're in the driver's seat now. Their win on Monday night eliminated the Cardinals from that race. So now the Cardinals and Milwaukee are sort of essentially looking at the wild card spot in the National League. Milwaukee can still mathematically catch the Cubs, but the Cubs seem to have caught fire at the right time. Where the interesting races are is really for those second wild card spots. In the American League, Minnesota very definitely in the driver's seat, but the Angels, Kansas City, Tampa Bay, and Texas all in there with an outside shot. But all of those teams are slumping at the moment. Texas has lost 4 in a row, Kansas City 2 in a row, and none of those teams has done well in their last 10 games. So if I'm Minnesota, I'm probably feeling pretty good right now that I'm going to be playing the Yankees next week in that American League wildcard game. In the National League, Colorado's still in the driver's seat, but certainly don't have it locked up. The only team that's sitting there with a spot locked up in the wildcard game is the Arizona Diamondbacks, and that's going to be quite a race between now and the end of the week.
All right, John Poulter with us. And what does Milwaukee have to do in order to get that wild card spot, saying that they're not, you know, probably going to catch the Cubs?
Well, Milwaukee's got a couple of interesting series. They've got three games at home against Cincinnati, and then they finish the season with three games in St. Louis. And it may be all over by then. I think the Brewers just got to keep playing steady baseball, and they'll be fine.
Steve?
Well, who do the Rockies have to face this week?
Colorado have got a series with Miami in Denver, and then they finish up with the Dodgers also in Denver. So no easy path for the Rockies.
All right. And John Poulter is with us. He is from Toronto, Ontario. He comes on, talks about a variety of sports on the program, but now with the playoffs coming up in Major League Baseball, we're focusing on that. Who do you like in the National League and the American League to meet in the World Series, just out of curiosity?
Well, if you'd have asked me a month ago, I would have told you the Dodgers for sure, and the Houston Astros a very strong favorite. But Cleveland has caught the Astros in terms of the best record in the American League, and we all know that the Dodgers have been in a bit of a slide, and the Cubs are starting to play well, and Washington's playing well. So I'm going to take the easy road here and say it's pretty wide open. I think anybody could win it, quite frankly. I think one series to look at this weekend, which could be very interesting, is that the Houston Astros close out the season with three games at Fenway Park against the Boston Red Sox. And unless the Astros can catch the Indians for the best record, it looks as though Boston and Houston will be playing each other in the first round of the postseason. So that's a three-game series. It becomes anything from a seven-game series to a 10-game series, depending on how long the divisional playoff last. So that could be something to watch this weekend as those two teams jockey in that American League East and West divisions, respectively.
Okay, John. Now, there are some big matchups in soccer coming up, and let's touch on those.
Well, biggest game this weekend, Manchester City playing Chelsea. Chelsea play the third-place team, Manchester City, the league leaders.
Yeah, you've got basically two of the top scorers in the entire league facing off against each other. You've got Sergio Aguero, and then, of course, Chelsea with their newest addition this year, Arreta, and who's just – he had a hat trick last weekend, surprising a lot of people.
Well, yeah, and of course the other thing is that we all know the struggles that Crystal Palace have had at the bottom of the table. Not only have they not won a game, they haven't even scored a goal yet. And the team that's between Manchester City and Chelsea is Manchester United. And Manchester United have a home game against Crystal Palace. So Manchester City beat up on them last week. This time, let's hope that it's Manchester United's turn.
An interesting matchup on Sunday, Arsenal against a new upstart in the league, Brighton and Hove Albion, who've won a few games, looking pretty good. But
Brighton has been playing very well for a promoted team. They had a good game with Newcastle this past weekend. One of the other two teams, that came up from the championship. Brighton, first ever crack at being in the top flight, so they're in new territory. Arsenal, not really sure what we're going to see from Arsenal. I mean, there's days when they look like world beaters, and then there's days, as in the game at Liverpool that we chatted about a few weeks ago, they just looked absolutely terrible. So you never really know what you're going to get with Arsenal. It seems to be feast or famine with them, but I'm looking for that to be a good game as well.
Yeah, and it is kind of an interesting season so far. You've got two newly promoted teams, although Newcastle, I mean, they've been in the Premiership before, so it's not necessarily surprising. But they're in the 10th, basically sitting at the top half of the table. And then Huddersfield Town at number 8, you would have thought after the first couple of games they would have fallen a little further, but they're still in the hunt. For now.
Yeah, Huddersfield hasn't been playing badly at all. They'll have a big test this weekend. They have a home game against Tottenham, and Tottenham's been sort of a hot and cold team. Hasn't looked anywhere near as strong as we thought they would be based on what we saw last year. But looking at the table, they're still in fourth place. 11 points, 5 behind Manchester City and Manchester United. So clearly they don't want to let the leaders get too far out of sight. So that's a big game for both teams. And Tottenham has been having some struggles at home. They're playing at Wembley Stadium this year because their ground at White Hart Lane is in the process of some major renovations. They haven't played well at Wembley. They seem to have played better on the road. So maybe that's a good omen for Tottenham. But Huddersfield has struggled the last couple of games, came out of the gate very, very quickly. But I still think that's a pretty strong team. And points earned now are just as good as points earned at the end of the season and perhaps in a less stressful situation for Huddersfield. So make hay while the sun shines, I guess, is the way I would look at it if I was a Huddersfield fan.
There you go.
All right. John Poulter, our professor of sports from Toronto. Thanks very much. We'll do it again next week, and you take care, John.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. Take care, and we'll chat next week.
Will do. And we want to thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Sports Report. Remember, you can get us at internetfm.com and kwwradio.com. On-demand shows every week during the football season. It's a whole lot of fun. So, for Steve Leventhal in Chicago, for John Poulter in Toronto, for Les Grobstein in Chicago, and for Jeff Joniak, our special guest on the program, I'm Dave Rush saying thank you very much for listening. Have a great day. Come back next week. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Goodbye.
Keep your feet in the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
That's right, tough guy.
Bye-bye.
Here's the Bears, scumbag!
Goodbye.
Tell you what, Dipstick, you can just come on down here and smooch my big old white butt. Pucker up, Buttercup.
Yeah, I hear you, Fruitcake.
Oh, it's hopeless. You ought to club them and eat their bones.
Goodbye.
Now you ladies, carry on.
Excellent.
See you later, pal. I'm going home.
Wait a minute.
Well, I'm glad that's over. Now it's over.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Let's get out of here.